Well, that was type, and that was just because we had four keys. And that's the shift from the Trinitarian way of being always being certain to looking at things from all points of view. That was what that was about. Now, I thought we'd spend a little time on 57, because Pauli wrote in this letter to Emma Jung his thoughts about the stranger. Remember, stranger is kind of taking... The stranger is taking center stage and will throughout the rest of these dreams, because he is the point of view in us that the unconscious is asking Pauli to begin to defend. My dream figure, see where I am there on 57? My dream figure, the last big quote, is also dual layered. On the one hand, he is a spiritual light figure with superior knowledge. That was the blonde. And on the other hand, he is a thonic natural spirit. That would be the Persian, and that would be the lower trinity. But his knowledge repeatedly takes him back to nature. And his thonic origins are also the source of his knowledge, so that ultimately both aspects turn out to be facets of the same personality. He is the one who prepares the way for the quaternity, which is always pursuing him. So imagine now that what we are seeing described is a point of view in the unconscious, which we are being asked to understand and integrate into our way of looking at things. And it is in the service of wholeness, quaternity. His actions are always effective, his words definitive, albeit often incomprehensible. Women and children follow him happily, and he frequently tries to instruct them. In fact, he regards everyone around him, especially me, as completely ignorant and uneducated compared with himself. Now, do you understand why that would be the case? Because he represents a point of view that we don't understand. He does not reject the ancient writings on magic, but simply regards them as a popular preliminary stage for people with no education, for example, myself. And you see what that's about. That he's starting in the symbolic mind, which doesn't, is not bothered by these facts that we're calling synchronicity, which other eras might have called magic or oracular. He is not at odds with the non-rational, is what I get out of that. And that's really his starting point. Like I said, that Pauli thought that scientific theory had its origin in images. I think, you know, we have no problem seeing that a work of art can come from a dream, but why would not a scientific theory? And he's saying, yeah, that's just the domain of this guy here. But now comes the really odd bit, namely the analogy to the Antichrist. He is not an Antichrist, but in a certain sense, an anti-scientist. Science here meaning the scientific approach, particularly as it is taught in universities today. So he represents a point of view excluded from science, which wants to be included in science, but as yet has not. So in that sense, he's anti, but not anti to destroy it, but to enlarge it. This, namely science, he sees it as a sort of Tsvingori. That's a castle that was lived in by the Habsburgs. Before Switzerland became an independent country, it was under the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And the Tsvingori was was the castle where the Habsburgs lived. Remember Wilhelm Tell shooting the apple? I think that took place there. That's what Wilhelm Tell disobeyed the Habsburgs and started the revolution to make it Switzerland independent. Which, in my dreams, he occasionally sets fire to. Well, we've seen that fire. If he feels he is being disregarded, he does everything in his power to draw attention to himself. For example, by means of synchronistic phenomena, which he calls radioactivity, or through moods of depression or incomprehensible affects. That's about as clear as that he's going to say it. As I said, I don't agree with his calling synchronicity radioactivity.
I wonder where that came from.
That's Pauli's mind.
Yeah.
Do you see what's wrong there? Let me back up. He is saying that scientific images are just as much metaphors as are any other image. And so when a scientist dreams of scientific images that we can interpret them psychologically, which is true, I agree with that. That's a great contribution of his. And then he does some of his own dreams, which we'll look at eventually. And he's saying, so if you dream of, if a scientist dreams of radioactivity, that means synchronicity. Mm-hmm. But radioactivity is destructive, and synchronicity is creative. So you can see the missing fourth function right there. There is no accurate feeling judgment. That's an interpretation without the feeling function. You follow why I say that? It's very important.
But it could be symbolic, couldn't it? And
well, even if it is symbolic, it would say that the synchronicity is destructive. See, when you make an interpretation, this just a little bit on interpretation 101. When we make an interpretation of an unconscious image, the qualities that describe our interpretation have to be the same qualities that describe the image.
Jared, why do you say radioactivity is always negative or bad?
Because it destroys human flesh.
But it also can destroy bad things, and it also can light things up. Like you can take a radioactive isotope and use it to kill bad cancer cells. You can also use it to light up on a scan machine.
Under very, very specific circumstances.
Maybe not always.
But to blanketly take an image which generally would hurt you and see it as something positive, I think is a great feeling mistake. You know, if he had a dream of maybe, I don't know, some cancer treating apparatus, okay. But I think on the whole, he's not paying attention to the value of the image and comparing that to the value he's giving it in his interpretation. That's one way you can check whether your interpretation is correct or not. Look at the qualities that you've ascribed to your interpretation and ask yourself, are those qualities in that image?
Yeah, it's something more technical. I think you probably think that with radiation, you cannot predict the radiation, you know, the frequency and so forth. But at some point in time, two radiation may come out at the same time.
Yeah. But see, you're just proving my point that certain functions are working. Intellectually, thinking wise, that makes sense. It does not make sense on the feeling level. And an interpretation has to satisfy all four qualities. Otherwise, you see, you're telling the image what it is, and you're not listening to what the image is and letting it define your interpretation. Two places where I find beginners make mistakes. Confusing whether the dream is subjective or objective, and not following through on the feeling dimension of the interpretation. That's a small detail. We'll be looking at this feeling issue throughout, but I just wanted to let you hear him describe the stranger. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was the Pauli effect, for which he was well known. Apparently, if he got near a experiment, it would blow up. It's no joke. It is no joke. Experimental physicists were terrified of him. They wouldn't let him near their laboratory. Something would always go wrong.
Good thing he didn't work on the Manhattan Project.
Yeah, but maybe that's why. There was even a story that one of his colleagues, I think, I forget the guy's name. The name may have been Jost, J-O-S-T, but I'm not sure about that, was doing an experiment and the apparatus blew up. And it turned out that Pauli was in the train station of that town passing through that day.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
Oh,
and this was like, this was standard knowledge. It was called the Pauli effect. Which I think is the stranger, you see. That's what an archetype does. And it shows you what a terrific tension there was in this man. He was the leading scientist of his day, and one of his strongest complexes hated science. To the extent that synchronistically it would try to destroy the research being carried on in physics. And this is not just Mr. Van Eerkens. If you read any book by his associates, that this is well documented.
Do you have any explanation of this effect? How does it explain the effect?
Just synchronistic manifestation of the stranger.
Did the stranger tamper with Pauli's own experiments?
Pauli didn't do experiments.
Oh, okay. Just
he was a theoretical physicist.
Okay.
Somebody else did the experiments and they worked on the data.
So would that be of the nature like just invoking, the people doing the work, invoking Pauli's name, that stranger is somehow involved?
I think he had to be there. When he was there, things tended to go wrong.
So synchronicity and reactivity fit for him.
In a way they do. In a way they do, yeah. In a way. But there again, let's go with that. You know, I'm willing to go with that. What's missing? Then the conclusion is missing. Why is that the case? What must I change in my own view to stop this? When you read Pauli now, it sounds so that he understands it so well. We're going to see he loses this. By the end of the book, he is going to be trashing psychology, talking about the glory of science. He simply could not integrate this challenge. And this is an example of fragmentation. We've seen it before. His great concern about how he affects women's feelings, and then he goes around insulting them. See, that's fragmentation. Compartmentalization. His at some points absolutely accurately understanding what his dreams are saying, and then later absolutely disregarding it. And in speaking the complete contrary He will write essays. He writes an essay about the unconscious, and he said, psychology is crap. And the real research that's going to be done in archetypes is going to be done in science. He never stopped to say to his stranger, do you agree? That's what it would mean to take account of the unconscious, to take a position and then ask your complexes if they agree. And he would have found out, no, the stranger doesn't agree. So what was left for the stranger to do but to appear in the Pauli effect? It's almost psychotic. You know, there are enormous synchronicities often around the onset of a psychosis. It's uncanny. But you see the enormous split. The tragedy, I think, for him personally is he had asked, and he was genuinely upset with the role that physics had played in the bombs. He asked his unconscious, what's wrong? Here's the answer. He gets it. And he becomes exactly the thing that propagated the mentality that led to, if not the exact bomb, but that the warlike mentality that's self-righteous and doesn't look for a place of reevaluation.
Would somebody else have come up with that if it hadn't been him?
Yeah, I think it was. That's what I was saying. This stranger is in all of us. Yeah, and I can only come back to my original statement that there is a point of view of a new way of looking at life trying to be born through us now. That is for sure.
So you said that it's Persian, it's science, right?
Well, the stranger is a combination of the Persian and the blonde.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. The Persian was more the earthy side, the blonde was more the intellectual side. And they become united in the stranger, which would mean that Pauli was, at least at some point in his life, getting clear that what is being asked of him both affects the way he lives personally and the way he works as a scientist. That's how I understand that the blonde and the Persian united in that earlier dream into the stranger.
When we were coming here, I just heard they were talking about this Misawi. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Did you anybody hear that on NPR?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And what he said.
What did he say?
He said, until you people understand our point of view, who we are, and why we hate you, you're going to live in that. It was chilling to hear him say it. Because it's not dissimilar to what
I couldn't agree more.
That you had said.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So to me, what was chilling after that was the person said that court decided that he would be put into solitary imprisonment for life and never be able to speak that again in public. Right? So.
It's tragic.
And will never be spoken again.
And then he said, "We think you've won." But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm afraid he's right. And the Persian is him, and the stranger is him. Unfortunately, we're getting it in a very unpleasant and itself problematic form in our collision with Islam. But I firmly believe there's no accident that the Persian comes out of that same area. If you want to go see a wonderful film, it's not here, but it'll be out on DVD. You may have heard me talk about it, Cachet. I'm probably going to ruin it for you a little bit. I won't tell you the ending. But it's the exact same story, where it's a story of a relationship between a French guy and an Algerian man. So the Algerian would be Islamic, right? A Muslim. And they were friends as children. I won't try not to ruin too much of the movie for you, but I have to tell you this detail, which will ruin part of it, but still I think it's worth it. They reconnect back in Paris, current time. The guys, the French guy's a successful TV personality. The Algerian guy is sort of a ne'er-do-well. And it turns out that the French guy screwed the Algerian guy thing as a child. So he's kind of sort of come back to get his vendetta. And the scene that has just burned itself into my mind, and here's what I'm unfortunately going to ruin part of the movie for you. The Algerian guy commits suicide. He slits his throat. In the presence of the French guy. And he says, right, and we don't know this is going to happen. He invites the French guy over, and you think there's going to be a reconciliation, and he suddenly pulls out a razor and slits his throat. Right before he kills himself, he says, "I wanted you to be present." And that just riveted itself into me. If you take that Algerian Muslim as the point of view of the Persian and of the Islamic attack as well, it wants us to see itself destroying itself for the purpose of communicating, I think, to us what we're not seeing. It's saying, I'd rather be dead than live around your ignorance. So it's the same idea as this guy said in the movie, and as the Persians say. I think we're seeing here in different domains, many different domains, a movie, a terrorist, a dream, this new world trying to come through to the West. Of course, it's coming through in a hostile way as a function of our defensiveness. But that's another reason why I find this is so important. It is absolutely historically relative. And where do we see it first? That's Book Zarathustra. He, remember, was a Persian. Zarathustra was a Persian. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how these themes are slowly coalescing. And this rather academic-sounding material becomes very politically important for us. Well, I would like to think it's not too late, that if we can begin to try to understand that other point of view, maybe there's something that we can do. And I think we can see in Pali, the presence of the stranger was asking for a reevaluation, which is probably analogous to the reevaluation of our values and our point of view implied in the attack by Islam on us.
On page 86, he said, yeah. After one of his father's days, afterwards he felt lightened and released from inner tension. Mm-hmm. So that kind of phenomenon associated with synchronicity in general?
No, I wouldn't say in general. No. Sometimes.
So what kind of tension was released in this case with him?
I'm guessing that the synchronicity was the stranger having expressed himself. And at some level, that felt satisfying. Of course, it should have found a much different way of expressing itself in his work, in lecturing, in courses, in public speaking. That does that chapter, I think. But the only other thing, did he say it? No, I skipped over it. But the mythological image at the back of all this would be Mercurius. Mercurius is dual. He's material as well as spiritual. And he would be that, he would be behind the superstition which science thought it has transcended.
But he caused the
gloss. Mercurius is the stranger, and the stranger is Mercurius, and he's behind it, right? So, see, he's the point of view. We'll be looking too at the historical background of all this as time goes on. We live long enough. this stranger was lost to human history at the birth of the scientific revolution. And he's coming back now to find a way to be reintegrated. Then he was only understood superstitiously. The challenge now is going to be to understand him and maintain the integrity of the scientific method. Anything else? Page 62.
One minute. I saw on the paper this morning, editorial on the Liberty Fund.
Yeah.
I had never heard of it.
I've heard of it.
And I mean, it was eminently an Indiana creation.
Mm-hmm.
It was here. But they had a conference on Google. And it was a few days. Disgusting, I guess, where it had to our people from all over. But I can't even listen.
Well, were they really talking with each other, I wonder?
They
I mean, was there a real dialogue, or was it just...
Oh, I'm sure. Well, it was a conference.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but there can be conferences without real dialogue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I never even heard of this thing before. But I would think that the people they brought together, that they, I would hope they would...
I think it's very important, yeah. I think it's very important. And we see here the backdrop of it. Okay, 62. Pauli and von Franz pick up. She sent him a manuscript. And he wrote back. Which... Talk about no feeling. Listen to this. You're kindly sending me your manuscript. Gives me a welcome opportunity to get in touch with you again. My not having spoken much at all with you in the last 2 years doesn't mean that the human relation from me to you has been completely missing. Isn't that amazing? You're getting a lesson in undeveloped feeling. That's the way it works. We didn't talk to each other, but we had a relationship. Rather, the lack of outer contact with you during this time has much more to do with, should be the fact, with the fact that very often an objective involvement in the work of another cannot occur without there being a corresponding disturbance to similar factors in one's interpersonal sphere. Blah, blah, blah.
But that's kind of, isn't that kind of a analogous to what Jung was, why he sent this lowly assistant to work with him originally, that he didn't want to disturb his psychic. Is that what he's
saying? I don't think that's what he's saying. He's saying, oh, I've been so engrossed in your thoughts that, let me see, what is he saying? Let me make sure I'm right here. That he could only really study her work if he was at odds with her personally.
To move in her from...
You see, your crap detector should be flashing very strongly right now.
Oh, what kind of thing?
It isn't?
Well, it seemed to me like he was saying that he couldn't have contact with her in involved with her work unless there was something corresponding going on within him.
A corresponding disturbance. Why does it have to be a disturbance?
There's always a disturbance.
Why can't two people be friends and share their work together?
Well, but it's not the status quo.
So you think disturbance points to something?
I think he's full of crap here. He's saying that the only way I could study your work is if there was a disruption in our relationship.
Well, doesn't that fit in with Jung's idea that the therapist...
they were friends!
But she would be kind of like a therapist.
No, they were friends.
I think he's saying, I mean, this is just my idea, that he's saying she stirs him up so much, he cannot be with her. And so in order...
to look at her work objectively without the feelings that she is eliciting in him, he has to separate from her, but he still feels connected.
That's how it is.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
God, you guys are generous.
Now women are.
In
his mind, that's what he's excusing.
I'm not excusing him. Fantasies we tell ourselves.
Yeah, everything is what we make it anyway. So let's leave this.
The last sentence though says a lot.
Okay, go ahead.
Just because I'm not sure I have this right.
Because I've been particularly reserved towards you, so that kind of dead center has arisen, and I've simply avoided you. Yet we still have a relationship in this dead center. That's just crap.
Yeah. To me, it's a guy rationalizing and using a bunch of words
mm-hmm.
for his fear of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he
doesn't
ask her out.
Pardon?
And he doesn't ask her out. He won't face what he feels.
He won't face what he feels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he would rather feel dead in the center.
Well, I think we're going to see that then in this next dream. So, I think they would hang out in the afternoon together, go for walks, take boat rides. I think that's how the contact was. And then in that context, so in January, after receiving the manuscript, the end of December, he has these dreams. And I am driving uphill in a car. Next to me sits the somewhat younger physicist, W. Then the skin on my left leg begins to peel away, and it falls away in a heap. Under it, a rose-colored skin is visible. We come to the end of the road. A footpath continues further. I stop. Now, W brings me a hat with false monograms. I give it back to him as not belonging to me. At that, W cuts the letters out of another hat and wants to give me this hat. But I also do not recognize this one, this as one of mine, and I give it back to him. I see that now it would only be possible to go further by foot by the light of the moon. Big red flag. Which, however, I consider dangerous. The end point of this path is doubtful. It should be Asgore. You can bet it is. I awake. The stranger, we just have about 10 minutes. Let's just maybe tackle that one. Well, I'll read you both of them. See where we go. The stranger is with me. See, he's going to keep coming back. He said that I must go to an official celebration in Kuznacht and that he will come later by way of a detour. I walk in there at the Gasthof. A Gasthof is like a pub restaurant. Its name, Old Sun. That's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
It is written on the building. It looks similar to the way that the Johannesburg, it's the name of the restaurant, looks in reality. There I find the dignitaries of the community sitting at a table. A blonde young woman also sits at the table, and she is very sad. She is crying and says that she will lose her Swiss citizenship because she is marrying a German. At the end, one of the community dignitaries says, Fräulein von Franz is also to marry here. Waiting for the stranger, I awake. So, the sloughing of the skin. What do you make of that? Left leg, feeling side, right? Leg meaning what?
Standpoint,
right. Sloughing meaning?
Renewing,
yeah. I think one of the oldest archetypes of this process of change is the snake shedding its skin. So it's showing that there should be a transformation in his feeling side. And Rose could refer to Eros. The footpath continues only. What's that about? Yeah, it's really bringing it down to his own personal life. Mm-hmm. Stop all the hot air and kind of walk the talk. Now the monograms. You don't know this at this point, but this image of the hat is going to play quite a role. And it is eventually worked out to mean his professorial role. He's always getting the wrong hat or putting on the hat when he shouldn't, which shows his identity with the persona.
So does that mean that ultimately to go down that path that we want him to go down?
We don't want him to get on the unconscious once he's
going down. That he would actually have to put aside this mystique and prestige of that.
Absolutely. And I think that is where he got stuck. Not only is he afraid of his feeling side, he was addicted to being hair doctor professor. And he could not let that go. So he could not let go. As I mentioned to you, I think, the great idolization that European professors receive, which in a way is nice. And they're well paid, they're respected. On the other hand, it is a bit over the top. They can do no wrong. It's fine if it's a good professor, it's not fine if it's a lousy professor. So, the moon. Go further by foot by the light of the moon.
The layers of feminine.
More than that, I think.
Well, the unfocused or the way we approach.
Still, I think it's more.
Okay.
You're on the right track.
Okay.
Well, he's Eros from Von Franz. That's Diana. And she's shooting him with an arrow. The moonlight would be the Eros, the kind of understanding that's going to come out of his Eros relationship with Von Franz. And that's the knowledge he has to begin to trust. It's by the light of that understanding that he has to proceed, not by the bright light of solar consciousness, but the feeling understanding that comes through his relationship with a woman and what she will teach him about the psyche and about the questions that he's asking and how she will support him in expressing what he's being asked to express.
Is it expressing here how willing she is ready to serve in that role?
We don't have her letters, but we have interviews of her where she said, I tried to be a friend to him and I couldn't. Yeah, I can bring that if you want, but
I was just thinking that
that's documented.
We assumed that she was really out of reach,
That's true. We assumed it here, but there's she has been interviewed where she says that she really cared for him. She tried, and it didn't. He ran.
Is it possible that you had to have some kind of quick chemistry that pulls another person forward and that she may not have had that?
Oh, she had it.
She did it?
We will see.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, definitely. Oh, he was clicked in on her, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, but she didn't buy that keratoxin for fat.
No, she didn't.
Huh. So there it is.
Yeah.
If you're assuming correctly that he was really coming up on that.
Correct.
And just couldn't really give it up.
Yeah.
So that would have been down the block in the ironic way.
I would think so. Like you told us, he said that to one of his wives or his wife. Well, you should love me because I'm the best dispossessed in the world.
Yeah, his first wife, you know.
You would have thought never was for the naturalist.
Yeah, I think that was the real meaning, was the match of intellects. But the problem was the heart wasn't going to stay out of it. And the real purpose wasn't the heart. But they had to deal with the heart to work with their minds, to discuss together. And she was quite willing to accept that, as far as I can tell. Yeah, this is a mental relationship, but our hearts and our bodies are involved. We'll just have to deal with that. And he wasn't willing to do that.
Well, her commitment, I mean, the dream says she's also to marry.
Well, let's see. How are we doing on time? We have about a minute. Just very briefly, and then maybe we'll return to this so you don't feel rushed next time. Mm-hmm. See, the old sun is the opposite of the moon. Mm-hmm. The old sun is the status quo paradigm. And if the blonde marries the German and the von France marries here, we don't quite know who her spouse is going to be, that union occurs in support of the old way of looking at things. That's what happens if he is afraid of the moonwalk.
Okay.
The second dream is a consequence of the first.
So the lady who was crying because she was losing her citizenship, what does that mean?
I don't remember what he said exactly, but Or Pally does say it has to do with Germany has to do with German idealism. Well, that's kind of hard to do in about 30 seconds, but German idealism does not mean like idealize, put up on a pedestal. It's the name of a philosophical movement, and I think the German idealist probably started with Kant. And the big thing about that is it's all mental, where. The worldview that the German idealists were reacting to was the empiricism of science, which if you extend empiricism to a personal ethic, it can very easily become hedonism. Because the important thing is experience. Well, if the important thing is experience, why not have those experiences that feel good? So that was philosophically where Europe was going at the time. And then these Germans came in and said, no, the real thing that's important in life is the structure of our experience. Is that right, Harry Healy?
Ordnung, yes. Ordnung.
Ordnung in the experience. And the form of experience. Now, what that applies to here is the woman is being taken out of her experience into her thoughts. That's how I would understand that. So again, it's the flight from the body and the heart into thinking. And von Franz marrying the old son would be whatever von Franz means to him isn't going to get past the old paradigm. It's bad news. See, alchemy is all about the transformation of the old son. Alchemy, when alchemy works with the symbolism of the king, that's just another word for old sun. Because the sun is the king. In the, you know, the sun king, the old early idea of kingship. So he has this terrific pressure from the stranger. Now he's got this relationship that's trying to support him to bring the stranger's point of view forward. But it runs into professorial. It runs into fear of feeling and eros. It runs into giving up the intellect and trusting where the
So you could say the thoughts of the heart lead him, and it runs into the conflict with the old value system, and it's squashed. That will be the struggle back and forth now for a while. Who's going to win? He certainly does make more progress than we see here, but he also never fully gets past the old son. This is the way growth goes, back and forth, back. See, this is the two, back and forth, back and forth.
Was he aware of this professorial act?
Remember he had the dream where we called the guy a swindler?
Oh, no.
He's one of these people that at one minute I think he would be aware of it, and the next minute, not. He would talk to you about it one minute, and the next minute he would act like that discussion never happened. See, that's fragmentation. That's compartmentalization. You get these different reactions, but there's never a summing up, and there's never a recognition of whether they carry through to all phases of life.
One of his first dreams was when he had office with no chair.
That's the new professor.
Okay. But he's still putting the old hat on.
He's still putting the old hat on. See, that was meant to show him that there could be a new chair for him too, which means a new message to communicate as a professor. You see how the dreams get very specific as well as being quite general. But again, I think for our purposes, we just keep our eye on the stranger and we continue saying, well, if he couldn't do it, what does that challenge mean for us? That's where I think you can keep with this without losing hope. So no meeting in 2 weeks. 4 at noon, everybody know that? At noon at Nancy's, 12 to 1:30 we talk. We see a short movie before 1:30, then we'll have a cold potluck from 1:30 to 2:30. Well, actually, we got through some pages today. I would say we're not going to get past page 73 next time. Because we don't have a full schedule, we're going to watch a video, so
hopefully won't be through 10 pages in an hour.
We won't, probably.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, but that's okay.
You're my reality match.
Well, I wouldn't, I mean, you know, I don't want to hurry up.
Yeah.